Blog Talk Radio.
We are all given more time than God than we can imagine when we trust in God. Are you trusting God this morning to lead you, to guide you, to get you where you need to go? I am grateful, I am thankful, and I am blessed that to be a child of God and to do His will, not my will, but God's will. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts and minds open and ready to receive your grace and your mercy. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my strength. And I say again, you, Lord God, are my strength. And you are my redeemer. As the song says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And all I can say this morning is thank you and ask you, Lord God, to guide us in the word today. Let the words that you spoke permeate hearts, minds, and spirits, that your commandments are not just a suggestion, but are a way for us to live, that you have given us a blueprint, Lord God. Let us follow it to the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Woo, amen, amen, and amen. Giving honor to the Most High God and welcoming you all to Moving Forward. This is Bible study, so do what? Get your Bibles, family. Get your Bibles. For those that have been with me for a while, this is Old Testament Friday. And on Old Testament Friday, we stay in the Old Testament. And today, we will be in the book of Exodus. And we will be starting on this February 3rd day. I still am, like, amazed that it is February already. And I'm sure there is someone wanting to have a little groundhog for dinner who said that we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. The little doggone groundhog, I think he saw his shadow. 6 more weeks of winter, family. So get ready, get ready, get ready. I was speaking to my mother on yesterday, and where I grew up, you know, we had like a little smither in the snow, and we was out of school for a week. And she was telling me that they have had some snow and some ice down there, And basically the city has been closed most of this week. So I tell you, when towns are not equipped to handle crazy weather, we got some praying to do. If you're not used to it, it's a little harder. If you're a person that's been where we are in the north, where we get snow and ice, and you're used to it, it's so weird when you go to a place where they're not, and you have cars sliding here and people not being able to drive, and folks just staying in the house, I ain't going nowhere, because they're not used to it. You know, we got to pray because the weather is changing. Climate change is real. You know, I'm sure that there are those out there in the Christian world who tell me that, you know, oh, she's just talking. No, the truth is the truth, and we just need to go with it and live with it and keep asking God to lead us and guide us in the direction he would go. And the word that God gave me this morning, you know, we're going to be coming out of Exodus 20 today also. And the word God gave me is, and God, not Minister Bridget, not Mother Valerie, but God, spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. You know, so many times people take the Ten Commandments as a suggestion. No, that's why they're called commandments. They were not a suggestion. They were a commandment from God to his people. And we must understand that God's commandments are commandments for all of us to live by. You know, and we got to pray that we start living by these commandments to honor God, to honor his day. We got to learn what day the Sabbath is. You know, and I know there's all controversy, but if there's 6 days that God worked and on the seventh day he rests, the seventh day become the first day that we go to church and we rest on the first day and not on the seventh. Just saying. You know, something to think about. And that's, you know, y'all can DM me on Twitter if you want to. Yeah, Minister_B. Talks word for those that want to argue with me about this. But I'm just saying we got to look and think about some things. As I say, sometimes you just got to say, think about it and not get all upset and, you know, get, you know, oh, well, that's not this and that's not that. No, it's just something to think about. That we allow Constantine to change a whole lot of stuff. So if you're like, well, who is Constantine? Go and look it up. Read about it. You know, read about it. You know, I got into an issue with someone when I said that, you know, Moses could have been a person of color, could have been black. Oh, my God. You thought the earth had shook. Oh, no, His wife was, but he was not. Okay. I was not going to argue about that point because a lot of theologians are coming to the conclusions, including many rabbis, that, yes, Moses was probably a man of color, just as his wife was a Midian, and she was probably a woman of color. Because if you read the word of God, when Miriam was having her little meltdown about power and the power struggle, when she put her hand inside, she turned white, which was leprosy. And so if she's already white, how can she turn white? So just saying, but not trying to cause controversy. But this is African American History Month, and that's just something to think about, because Miriam was what, Moses' sister. So just saying. But anyway, we're going to get away from that and get into our word this morning. And the word of God says, and we're going to go to Exodus 17 and 18, and we're going to ask Mother Valerie to read Exodus 17 and 18 chapters. And Mother, your line is open for Exodus 17 and 18. And Mother's going to also read Exodus chapter, where are we? I believe it is chapter 22. So she's going to read 17, 18, and 19. And I'll be back with chapter 20. So Mother Valerie, you got Exodus chapter 17 through 19. And you can come out of any Bible you want, and we'll go back and talk the life lessons from those chapters. And then I got chapter 20, 21, and 22. Mother, your line is open. And Mother Valerie is like me. She's got, I was at her house on yesterday, and she's got Bibles all over the place too. You know, there's nothing like having the Word of God right beside you, because something will come into your mind where you got to look it up, and you want to look it up, so you go and look it up. Mother, are you, can you hear me well? Good morning, Mother Valerie. Good morning, Mother Valerie. Well, when Mother Valerie is able, she'll come back on with us and come in on her word. But I will start us out in chapter 17, and then Mother Valerie will take over if she is able, but her line is open. And it says this, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people. Okay, we get ready to act up again. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, the Lord said to Moses, again, God is speaking all through the word this morning for a memorial in the book and recounted in the bearing of Joshua, in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Chapter 18. Mother Valerie, if you are ready to read chapter 18, just put your hand up by pushing the number 1 on your phone. I believe in Mother Valerie is very busy this morning. She will be traveling in the next day, so we need to keep her in our prayers today for her travels. So Mother Valerie may come in a little bit later. Whenever she's ready, she will let us know. But we're going to keep on moving. Chapter 18. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her 2 sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eleazar. For he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her 2 sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down to him, and they asked each other about their well-being. And they went into the tent, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Because remember, Jethro was a priest, so he wasn't just anybody. He believed in the God of Abraham, and he gave sacrifices to God. And it says, and so it was on the next day that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. But this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and let them judge the people all at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times, and hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. We need wisdom in our lives. We need those elders to come in and tell us when we're not doing things the right way. We need those elders to come and say, you need to do this differently. You know, when you don't have anybody to hold you accountable, you kind of do what you want to do, and what you want to do may not be what's best for you. God sent Jethro for a purpose and a reason, you know, not only to bring Moses' family back, but to guide him and lead him in the way he should go with wisdom. You know, so Jethro didn't play. He said, that ain't right. What you're doing is going to burn you out, babe. If you're trying to do everything and you don't delegate, you're going to wind up being burnt out. We as leaders have got to learn to delegate. We've got to learn how to ask for help. You know, pastors, you can't do it all by yourself. You need your deacons. You need your elders. You need your people in your ministries to help you, your ministers, your assistant pastors. That's their job, are to assist you so you can do what God is calling you to do, to lead. Moses did not have the time to do all that stuff. You know, we have got to trust the people that we put in our leadership that do their jobs, you know, to guide them, 50, 100, but they all report back to Moses. So if there's one that has 10, then he's going to report to the one over him, and the one over him is going to report to Moses. So Moses is not dealing with hundreds and thousands of people trying to answer questions, trying to do disputes. Jethro came, and I believe he was sent by God about Moses. What a mighty word this is. Now, when we go back to chapter 17 and 18, life lessons, and again, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. It is a daily Bible, and by the time we finish it, we will have read the entire Bible again from Genesis to Revelation. And I tell you, every time we come together and read, I find out something new. I learn something new every day. So I'm thankful to God for his word. And as we go back to a life lesson, says the Lord is the Lord among us or not? You know, these people were questioning God because they were thirsty. They needed water. And it says in times of difficulty, it is easy to start wondering, is the Lord among us or not? If we have placed our faith in him, however, he has promised to be with us. So the question actually casts doubt on his truthfulness. When we wonder if God is with us, if God is watching over us, if God's word is true, I will never leave you or forsake you. If we question that, then we're questioning the truthfulness of God. And we have to be careful with that. You know, be careful what you think and what you say. Exodus 17 and 12, Moses' hands became heavy. So Aaron and Hur supported his hands. They put him on a rock, set him down, and they stood on each side of it. In order to succeed in the Christian life, we need the help and support of others. No believer has ever been called to go it alone in his or her walk of faith. We need God, and we need God every moment, every day, every hour. And some life examples from chapter 18, a good advice. It's the attitude that has defeated so many servants of God. Our attitude will determine our altitude. And we do have an attitude sometimes. And I love this. It says, it's the attitude that has defeated so many servants of God. If I want it done right, I got to do it myself. Oh, bam. If the shoe fits, times when you turn, it's a righty tighty, lefty loosey. If that righty tighty is fitting you real tight because you are that person, wear it. My hand is up. I have been there. If I want it done right, I can do it. I'm going to do it myself. I have that I'm going to do it myself attitude. And then it don't always get done right because I cannot do everything by myself. You can't do everything by yourself. We all need help from God. And then it goes on to say, instead of revealing godly commitments and skill, this attitude exposes our pride and need for control. Bam, all up in it. Destructive characteristics that do not honor God. I had to learn the hard way. I cannot do it all myself. I need help. You need help. We all need help. And we all need to trust in God that he will provide it. And it says, it was the attitude of Moses unknowingly struggled with when his father-in-law Jethro came to confront him. When Jethro learned that Moses was judging all the people of Israel by himself, Jethro said, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, but this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. A man of wisdom, a man of God, had to speak to Moses, an elder. That's why our pastors have deacons and assistants and associates that help them because they can't always do it all by themselves because they will burn out. That's why you have pastors' aides to lift the pastor up, to help them in need. And it says Moses probably realized there was a problem, but what could he do about it? Only he knew the statutes and laws of God. If we are honest, we'll admit that there have been times when we've said the same thing about ourselves. I'm the only one that knows this program. I'm the only one that knows this statute. I'm the only one that knows this law. I was one of the ones that helped create it. So I'm the only one that understands it, and I'm the only one that can answer these questions. That is not right. It took a team to create the statute. It took a team to create whatever the business design is, and we have to go with that. We got to learn to do what thus says the Lord. God gave us statutes. God gave us commandments. That's what we follow. It says, I'm the only one who knows how that program works. There's no one else who knows how to put this event together. Come on now. If I don't do it, they're just going to make a mess of it. Haven't y'all heard those words spoken sometimes from your own mouth or from the mouths of others that lead you? Can you see the prideful nature of those statements? We do ourselves no favor when we wear ourselves out with activities because we cannot let them go. Ooh, all up in my business. Well, we will not trust anyone else with them. That was me. I admit it. But God had to break me down to build me back up, to learn you cannot do it all by yourself. You need help. And I'm learning to ask for help. And it says, we like Moses must take Jethro's advice in Exodus 18 and 20. Jethro's counsel, teach them the statutes and the law and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. We must choose trustworthy, godly people to follow in our footsteps. We must teach them what we know so that they can serve the Lord too. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It's true that we may eventually work ourselves out of a job, but that's good because then we'll ensure that the work will carry on even when we are gone, and that is absolutely essential when doing ministry. It's the truth. We might work ourselves out of a job, but then when you see somebody else doing it and doing it better than you did, all you can do is say, wow, God, look at that. It was time for me to move. It was time for me to let go and give it to someone else, younger and ready to do it even better. Sometimes you got to be ready and willing to move over and give somebody else an opportunity. As we get older, we got to learn to give it to someone younger, to let that young person, to train them, and let them go. And you feel such pride. You know, I am so grateful that, you know, our women's ministry at our church has been given over to someone younger. And, oh, my God, she's awesome. And I just sat back. I feel almost like, wow, look at that guy. She has helped me in many, 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 many ways over all the years that I've done women's ministry. She's been right there with me. And now she is the leader, and I am just like a proud aunt. I am just so, I was at the meeting and wanted to cry because it was just so awesome. And I'm just so very, very proud of this young woman, you know, who has taken over the women's ministry. And I can see it growing and growing and growing because she is going to do a great job. You know, you get real proud. And you get all motherly when you see something that you started growing and changing and evolving. Awesome. You know, thanking God for it and for a pastor to listen to God's voice, that it was time for some changes, and I'm grateful. And as we go to Exodus chapter 18 and 8, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh, and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. It helps us to discuss with others what God has been doing in our lives, both the triumphs and the challenges. Fearful involvement with other believers glorifies God and blesses us. We got to talk about it. Tell God, thank you. Let God know you appreciate what he's doing in your life and what he has done in your life. Exodus 18 and 23, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. God often uses the advice of wise counselors to help us find his will for our lives. Of course, any helpful counsel has to line up with the word of God and will be confirmed by the Holy Spirit. When we follow godly, spirit-led counsel, it will lead us to peace. And I can only say, yes, Lord. Thank you, God. God will do it. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we got to acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. He's directing the children of Israel. All they have to do is follow. All they have to do is listen. And Moses was given sound advice by his father-in-law to delegate, to get help. And when he did, things start running a lot smoother. And we all know that I have a crush on Joshua. I have a Joshua crush. And Joshua came in and fought that battle with the Amalekites and beat them. And Joshua is, God was preparing even then, Joshua, for leadership. He was preparing him even then to be Moses' right hand. He was the one that was there with Moses. He was the one that fought. Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses, but Joshua fought the battle. And as we go through our word, you know, as we got a lot of word to go through before we get to Joshua. But I'm going to tell you, Joshua was awesome. And as you reread up through Exodus and all through, you're going to see Joshua and Hur and Aaron's name and Caleb. You're going to see those names come up many times because there's a lot of great word. And it says this in chapter 19. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim and came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain, and Moses went up to God. Ooh, he went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." And I just got to put a pin right there. I have been and there is a song that they sing called "On Eagle's Wings." And I tell you, it is a song that just touches your heart. And it is a song I have grown to just love that song. It is such a tribute to God and what he does. So just telling you, if you ever get a chance to listen to the song "On Eagle's Wings," do so. It will touch your heart. And it goes on to tell us in his word. He says, "Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Come on now. We and all the earth belong to God. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. On the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain.'" So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." But Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. And God spoke, not Moses, not Aaron, but God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourselves a carved image, any likeness in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. But in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, don't lie. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Come on now, David. King David was looking down, saw the beautiful woman, and coveted her and had her. Come on now. People make mistakes. Yes, they do. And many have fallen short of keeping the Lord's commandments. Many of us as Christians have fallen short of keeping the Lord's commandments. But we have got to get back into the Word of God. I am teaching the Ten Commandments to our children and children's ministry, that they will understand what they have to do, you know, to be respectful, to be children of God. We got to teach them. We got to teach our children what to do, how to act, and eventually they will fall into place and they will know these commandments. When they lead children's ministry, they will know these commandments. It says now, all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves an altar of earth. You shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice in it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of your own stone. For if you use your tools on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. Wow, what a word. And as we go into Exodus chapter 21, it says this. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with the owl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the customs of daughters. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three for her, then she shall go out free without paying money. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. If men contend with each other and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die, but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man beats his male or female servants with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. But if the ox tended to thrust with his horn in past times, and it has been made known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life whatever is imposed on him, whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter. According to this judgment, it shall be done to him. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. If one man's ox hurts another's, so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in times past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. Chapter 22 of Exodus. If a man steals an ox or sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun is risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the thief is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an oxen, donkey, or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal, and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns so that the stacked grain, standing grain, or the field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hands into his neighbor's goods. For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or for any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep, and it dies, or is hurt, or driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both, that he has not put his hands into his neighbor's owner of it shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. But if in fact it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. If it is torn to pieces by a beast, then he shall bring it as evidence, and he shall not make good what was torn. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it, not being with it, he shall surely make it good. If his owner was with it, he shall not make it good. If it was hired, it came for its hire. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices to any god except to the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry out at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me, and you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts, in the field you shall throw it to the dogs. And that is the word of God for this morning. And I just want to go back and hit chapter 19, life principles. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. And we are going to get this in on Sunday in our Psalm and Proverb and New Testament word, which is in Matthew. So I'm going to hit all of the life principles and life lessons from chapter 19 to chapter 22 on Sunday, because our time has run out for today, but because I do want to get our prayer in for today. And our prayer for today is this: simple pleasures. I've learned from my experience that God protects the childlike and humble ones. For I was broken and brought low, but he answered me and came to my rescue. Psalm 116:6. Holy One, I have been carrying around my burdens, trying to do it all on my own. Come on now, write in the word. When did I start believing that stress and worry are holy endeavors? Your word says that you protect the childlike and humble ones. I don't know many children who worry about whether they are doing enough. They trust that their parents will take care of the big stuff, and they just get to be themselves. Today, Lord, I remember what it was like to not expect myself to be the one to make things happen in my life. I trust that even in my brokenness, you consistently come to my rescue. You see what I cannot, and you are more powerful to save than I could ever be. I trust you, remembering that I am your child, and you are taking care of me. I trust you with my life. What joy to be found in relationship to you. And the question for today, excuse me, for all of us, is how can you practice being childlike today? How can you practice being a son and daughter of the Most High and giving over to him what belongs to him, which is you? And thanking God for this mighty word, because God spoke today. I am the Lord your God. And all we can say is thank you for being our Heavenly Father, for being our God, for being our friend, for being there for us through thick and thin. And a word from my sister in Christ this morning before we wrap up is this: good morning. Faith in God includes faith in his timing. Ooh, all up in it, is she not? You have to believe in the process. Have a faith-filled Friday. And keep trusting that God is with you. For he said in his word, I am the Lord your God. And that's all I got this morning, family. Thank you for listening in the word this morning. Thanking God for all of you. Please keep Mother Valerie in your prayers as she gets ready to travel. Keep her prayed up that the Lord God will watch over her and her sister as they travel the highways and skyways. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. Remembering, what did the Lord say? And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God. Keep believing, keep trusting, and know that our Father God is with you wherever you go. Be blessed. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. May he bless you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, family. What do we say? It is what? It's a wrap, because I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed and have a great day. And again, please keep Mother Valerie in your prayers as she travels. Thank you so much and be blessed. And if you are in Springfield, church announcement, Table of Life Ministry on Sunday, February 5th, is having their Friends and Family Day. You are invited to come out and worship with us at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time church service and 10 o'clock a.m. Sunday school. So come worship with us at the table. We look forward to seeing you, because at the table you will find peace, love, and joy. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Hope to see some of you on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for church. Looking forward to seeing you. Have a blessed day. At this time, it is a wrap. This is my final closing. Be blessed, family.